For those who don't know me, my name is Anatoly. I am one of the elders here in Harvest City Church, and also I work here on staff as a missions pastor. So today, also, I have a good friend, Andrew, here with us. Can you please stand so we'll... Andrew, he is one of our global impact pastors. He is a good friend of mine since mid-90s. We came to the Lord at the same time, approximately, and we served together. We work alongside each other for many years. So now, Andrew, he is a pastor of a church in Zaporizhia in Ukraine, and they do great job there, preaching the gospel, making disciples, supporting people in need amidst the war. So he is our partner, so he came here for Global Impact Celebration, and we're excited about that. So welcome. As we are stepping into the most important weekend in our church, Global Impact Celebration, starting with Pastor Joel a couple of weeks ago sharing the vision, and then Pastor Jason and Linda and Joel encouraging, just to sharing what is this global impact, where it came from, why we're doing it. So we, through those sermons and those messages, we kind of remind ourselves what is this global impact is all about. So today I will speak another sermon in those terms, and I gave title to my sermon, Your Corner of the Mat. I would like to start by reading this story from Book of Matthew. This story, I love it because it allows us to get a glimpse into the heart of Jesus, just to understand what moves him and what he experiences in his heart. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." There is a cry in God's heart. It's a cry for lost soul of men and women. Sometimes life gets noisy, and because of this noise, this voice in our hearts becomes a little bit quiet, so we no longer hear that cry, harvest is plentiful, more workers, more workers. So Global Impact Celebration helps us to tune in our hearts yet again, so we are able to hear that cry that God has in his heart. Workers need to be sent on the fields because there is so much harvest and workers are few. In order to fulfill that cry, in order to fulfill that mission, send more workers into the harvest, Jesus established a church. Mission was first. Church was established to fulfill that mission. The very last words of Jesus to his disciples before he was taken to heaven: "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." Preaching the gospel and making disciples, this is why church was established. This is why we're here. There is actually no other reasons. Everything the church does should one way or another be around that mission. This is what should be fueling all our efforts, our prayers, our dreams, our vision. This is what should be directing our finances: preaching the gospel and making disciples. And GIC is helping us to remind, to refocus, to get this sense of urgency again, that we are on a mission And it's not something to be reluctant about. It's something that is urgent to God. So it should be urgent to us as well. See, early church, they caught this vision. They turned their world upside down. Even amidst first persecution and church being kind of a, you know, being a Christian in the Roman Empire, they were the lowest of the law. They not only were persecuted and harassed, they were marginalized. They were like nobodies. But amidst all of that, they made the name of Jesus known and famous in their generation. How did they do that? Well, in our Bibles, we have a book of Acts. See, it's not a book of talks. It's not a book of discussions. It's not a book of planning. It's not a book, it's not even a book of prayers. Even though prayer, it's a pivotal and crucial for the mission, but it's a book of Acts because they went out and they did it. They preached the gospel. They made disciples. They did it. They went out and did it. They took literally what Jesus told them. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witness, telling people about me. Doing what? Telling people about me. Where? Everywhere. In Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to ends of the earth. And this is what they did. They didn't try to change their world politically. They didn't try to legislate Christianity in the Roman Empire. No, they did none of that. They turned their world upside down and made the name of Jesus famous by simply obeying the command of Jesus. They preached the gospel and they made disciples. And now we're here in 2025. We have the baton in our hands. We should be caught up to speed. We should carry that baton and do what God is calling us to do. Okay, so when we laid this ground, we understand it, that this is our call as a church, to preach the gospel and to make disciples. But whose job is this anyway? You know, sometimes when people discuss the job needs to be done, everybody kind of looking around and, well, probably his job or his job. So whose job is that? Whose job is this? You know, somewhere along the history, there is a foreign concept found its way into the church. Somehow church got divided between clergy and laity. People in the pulpit and people in the pews. People in full-time ministry and people who are not in full-time ministry. And there is somehow this understanding was brought about that people who are clergy or people who are in the pulpit, people who are full-time ministry, people who get paid for, this is kind of a, all of that, making disciples, preaching the gospel, reaching the nations. It's their job. Our job, it's watching them doing their job. Clapping or booing, you know, depends if they do job well or not. You know, but see, this is not how it all started. Just to clarify, what the purpose of those people that sometimes we call people in a full-time ministry, like pastors, evangelists, prophets, apostles, and teachers? Apostle Paul gives us actually a very good understanding of what their purpose actually is. In Ephesians, Apostle Paul, he's describing these people who called to be kind of a to lead, to be in this ministry. And he says, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, to do what? To equip his people for the work of ministry, so that the body of Christ may be built up. See, God didn't call those people so they would themselves do the work of the ministry. God called Pastor Joel, other pastors, myself. God calling this type of people and gives them certain grace and skills and giftings to equip you so you would do the work of the ministry. And look at verse 16, how it resolves here. Then from him, from Christ, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part, how many parts? As each part does its work. See, this is how the kingdom of God works. The only way body will grow and function and fulfill the call that God has for this body, the only way the mission of Jesus can be accomplished, there's only one way. It's when each part does its work. Only then we will truly see fulfillment of the call that God has for us as a church. You have part to play. It may be different part. I have different part to play. Your part may be different from mine. Your part may be different from Joel's, from Andrew's, from other people. But you have your part that no one else can play. God placed you in the body, assigning you very distinct and particular part to play in the mission. Now, we have an enemy, the devil. He hates the mission of Jesus. He hates us with passion. So he fiercely opposes the Church of Christ in this mission. He opposes you and he opposes me and he opposes us together as a church. How he does it? There are many tactics that the devil is using to oppose the mission of Jesus. Some of them are very obvious, like intimidation, persecution, accusations, aggression. He does that. But when he can't succeed doing those things and stop the church, there is another tactic he is using. And today I would like to focus on this particular tactic because I believe that this tactic is one of the most successful for him and most powerful. And we need to be aware of these tactics that he is using to stop us, to hinder the mission. In 2 Timothy, it's the very last letter that Apostle Paul wrote just before he was executed. He was sharing with Timothy some of the final thoughts, encouraging him. And in this letter, this is what he is saying. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No soldier in active service entangles himself in civilian affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him. First, that we can draw conclusion from here is that we are in the battle. God called us to be soldiers in his army. He enlisted us in active service. We're not just sitting on the bench. We're right in the thick of the war. We're called in a battle. Regardless of if you are in a full-time ministry or not, you were called in a mission. You were called to be a soldier in his army. You know, speaking about full-time, I was so surprised to find out when I traveled to Nepal, vast majority of pastors in Nepal are not getting paid to be pastors. The reality of their finances and all of that simply doesn't allow that. They all have jobs, real jobs, not like you and I, Joel, real jobs. Pastor Ram, he has a little parts store. He sells parts. So as we travel doing ministry, he picks up coal and arranges delivery of auto parts and all of that. And in Vietnam, everybody would have little store. They sell coffee or they all need to do something. Church probably blesses them as they can, but it's almost impossible because churches are smaller and it's almost impossible to, you know, provide everything that pastor and their family would need. So this idea of full-time ministry, we got a bit spoiled. I remember when I came to the Lord, I was looking at the people who were working in the church, and I thought, oh, wow, one day when I grow up, I want to work in the church, you know, and I thought those people are something special, and I was almost, and then God opened the door, and I worked in the church. It was good. But when I realized there is nothing really special about those folks, they just, you know, just their job. But there is some kind of mindset that people who work in the church, they are the soldiers. They're the one in the battle. They're the one who kind of and I think it's a wrong mindset. And I was so blessed by God allowing me to stop working in the church for a season. And for 15 years, I hated this season, but I learned so much during this season when I had a regular jobs, you know, like driving truck, delivering stuff, filling out oranges in the juice machines, cleaning stuff, doing taxi, working in a pawn shop. And God was encouraging me and teaching me that, okay, so what about now? So now you're not working in the church. So now what? You just put your shield, your sword, all of that, preaching the gospel, missions, you put it just on a rest, and you'll be full of self-pity because you're not working in the church now. No, you're still my soldier. You're called to preach the gospel, make disciples. When you drive truck, you're called to preach the gospel to people on those unloading docks and other drivers as you wait in the yards. If you work in a pawn shop, you call to preach the gospel to people who come through the doors and share the gospel, pray for them and make disciples out of them. Regardless of your job, regardless of your position, regardless of where you are in your life, you are a soldier in the army of Christ. It is your call to preach the gospel and make disciples. So Apostle Paul is saying that we are soldiers. But then he's using this very profound word. He's saying that no soldier entangles themselves. This word entangle means being caught up in affairs that distract or hinder one's mission focus, primary focus or mission. Distraction. It's a powerful tool that enemy is using to hinder us from staying on course, to being engaged in a battle. When he tried intimidating you, it didn't work. He tried persecuting you, it didn't work. He tried harassing you, it didn't work. He started throwing things at you to distract you, to make you preoccupied, to make you overwhelmed with other things. Not necessarily bad things, just other things. So your energy, your capacity, all of that, your time, all of that goes to other things. So much so that you simply have nothing left for the mission of Jesus. This is what he does. Be aware of distractions. Distraction is a powerful tool of enemy. And today I would like to share with you in remaining time with the three distractions that I feel and I see a devil is using to keep us hindered from the mission of Jesus. I had a list of 103, but I decided for your sake, I decided to shrink it to only three, but I'm telling you, there are plenty. There are plenty, and we need to watch and look and prayfully ask Holy Spirit to help us see where enemy is trying to distract you and me from what God calling us to do. Okay, so as we talk about distractions, number one that I see that he is using quite often, it's arguing about the methods of the mission. You know, I hear this conversation all the time. We need to do more of the street evangelism. No, we need to feed the poor more and provide shelter and clothes. No, we need one-on-one evangelism. This is the thing to do. We need to do evangelism through like one-on-one meeting people and preach. No, we need gospel festivals. We need crusades. We need mass evangelism. No, you're all wrong. We need Alpha Course. That's the things that we actually need. Church, we need all of that and more of that. We need all of these things. See, arguing about the methods simply irrelevant because God is using all of these things. We simply need to do what God calling us to do. Simply follow, lead the Holy Spirit without trying to compare, without trying to see, oh, this works better, this works, doesn't work. You know, how many times being involved in lived evangelistic ministries, we do gospel festivals. We use the word crusade. I personally don't like this word because of a bad historical background, but pretty much what it is. We gather larger crowds of people on an open field where we invite people to come. We have worship and all of that. People gather and then it provides opportunity for evangelists to preach the gospel to the masses. And I have heard so many times where people who tell me crusades don't work. Time for crusades is over. It's a waste of money. It's a waste of time. Why you even bother doing them? It's just an event. It's just a little like a flashy thing. Guys, I don't know if you knew that. I got saved at the crusade. David Yonggi Cho, evangelist from South Korea, came to Kyiv. My mom was praying for me the whole year. I came to church a couple times, but my mind was closed. I kind of was already opening up toward God, but I wasn't ready to come in, and I couldn't quite understand all of that, gospel and all of that. When I came in this stadium in July 1996, God used this crusade to open my heart and to really understand the gospel. In this environment, in this atmosphere, as Yonggi Cho was preaching, I got it. And I believed, and I was one of those running to the stage. Wait for me, don't start praying, I'm here, I would like to receive Jesus. So when we see in Uganda, and other places where people running from the fields to the stage, sometimes people will say, well, it's not real. People, it is real. I was one of those running to the stage to receive Jesus. Sometimes the argument is, we should do more locally, or why we do so many things overseas. We should like focus on a local, on a city or a neighbor. Or some people will say, no, we should do more overseas. So we argue when we try to decide, we should do what God is calling us to do. All of these arguments simply add destruction. God is working overseas, God is working locally, God is working nationally, and God is the one who is leading us. We are not building our kingdom, we are not chasing our agenda, we don't pursue our plans, we don't sit there strategizing, we're simply listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit, responding to His leading, to the people He's connecting us to, and we simply step out in obedience to do what God is calling us to do. If it's in Regina, we do it in Regina. If it's in Winnipeg, we're doing in Winnipeg. Probably one day I see you, so that's why Winnipeg came to mind. If it's in Ukraine, it's in Ukraine. If it's in Uganda, it's in Uganda. God is the one. We are soldiers. He is a general. He is a commander and chief. He's telling us what to do. We say, yes, sir. And we go and do the job, regardless of what it is. You know, when we look at our partners, I just kind of, you know, Andrew, for example, he does ministry in Zaporizhia. He went there as a missionary. He's from Kyiv. He was sent about like 18 years ago, about that. He was sent, and it was a very rough time. Start life from all over in a complete different city. He doesn't own till now any real estate, any apartments. He lives in a foreign land. It's the same country, but it's a foreign city. Some of our partners are local. God called local people to do local job, and that's awesome. Some of them came from, like Dave Wells, you know. He's not from here. He's from, where are you guys from? Somewhere from village out in Manitoba. You know, Swan River, isn't it? So, But God relocated him here, Duck Paradise. God called this American guy from California, former hippie, you know, to go to Vietnam and to commit his life to Vietnamese people. Go figure. God is more, he's wiser than us. His ways are not our ways. He makes us move and he makes us do what he's calling us to do. We have like Flo Sasser, who is doing, she's American, but she's doing ministry with Marshall Islands and so on and so forth. God is the one who arranges these things. We simply need to do what God is calling us to do. There is only one method that is wrong. Only one method that's really wrong. And it's doing nothing. Doing nothing is wrong. Doing something for the gospel is right. So let us stop arguing about the methods and trying to pour kind of a poo-pooing what other people are doing. What I notice that doers never criticize other doers. Those who criticize are spectators. They are the ones who are sitting on the kind of a sidelines criticizing other. Doers never criticize because they know the same way they trust God for themselves, that God called them and they simply obey. They trust God that the other guy who is doing their work, the same God called that person to do whatever they're doing. So they would never open their mouths, try to kind of a pour a cold, how you say it, put a cold, oh, towel, right? Put a towel on that, on the things. So I'm learning my idioms, you know. I want to expand my English vocabulary so I can use all the idioms and stuff. And it's my dream to be a good speaker one day. Our church is called to the nations. Our church called to do things in Regina. Yes, and we're doing this. We think we support local ministries. We do things in Regina. But our church also carries a call for the nations. Just out of curiosity, how many people here who present here today were not born in Canada? Can I see your hands? People who were not born in Canada. We have quite a few. This room would be empty without you guys. I don't know if you realize it or not. You are part of the harvest that God is giving us. Because our church was faithfully responding to the call of God in the nations, investing, going, teaching, preaching, supporting, partnering. Now, God bringing us nations right to our doors, supporting our church, making our church stronger, more diverse. We are so blessed by having you. So let us continue doing what God is calling us to do. Let us not grow tired. Number two. Now we are stepping a little bit of a thin ice. So number two, it's a pursuit of happiness. This is what enemy is using to distract his church from the mission. Pursuit of happiness. What do I mean by saying that? There is a parable, one of the most famous parables that Jesus taught. It's a parable about a sower who came to sow seeds. And there was a four type of soil. Only one soil was fruitful, but there were three types of soil that received the seed but never produced a fruit. And one of the soil, it's a thorny soil. It's a soil that receive the seed, but there were lots of thorns that end up choking that seed. And the seed were not able to produce the fullness of the fruit it meant to produce. So the conclusion, it's Mark 4:19. But the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires of other things come and choke the word, making it unfruitful. So the word is there. The vision is there. The passion is there. The call is there. But something came alongside and choked all of that, hindered it, made it unfruitful. Jesus used very interesting word, deceitfulness of wealth. Why is wealth deceitful? Because wealth is promising you something. It's telling you, I can give you safety. I can give you peace. I can give you happiness. But in return, you need to chase after me. You need to give it all to me. You need to pursue me. Then we have this chase going on. Apostle Paul told to Timothy, for the love of money is the root of all kind of evil. And look carefully at the word he's using. And some people craving money have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. There is nothing wrong with money. There is nothing wrong with wealth. There is nothing wrong with some of those things. Those things in itself, nothing wrong with them. But see, he's describing people who start craving. What it means to crave something when you can't live without it. When there is something becomes your obsession. Where you look at something and you feel, I got to have this. I must have it. You can fill the blank. It's not only money. Whatever it is, that is not God. It's called the idol, actually. Craving. See, church, the way we were created, we can only crave one thing. We simply don't have capacity in our heart to have cravings and to pursue and to chase two different things. That's why Jesus said that no one can serve two masters. You cannot serve both God and money. Everything around us designed in a way to make you crave. You look at stuff, you look at things, you look at appeal, you look at whatever it is, and it's all designed to make you, I want this, and I want that, and I want this, and I want that. And through that, enemy is distracting us. So we start chasing those cravings to the extent that we simply lose focus of the mission. And we need to allow Holy Spirit sometimes to, smack us on the face. It's like, what are you doing? You know, I experienced it when I came to Canada. I remember when I just became a Christian, I was persecuted for my faith quite a bit. I remember there was a times where I was in a school and my aunt, he was also principal of the school, she hated me for becoming a Christian. He hated me, he hated my mom. It was, she really was angry with us. So more than once, many times, she would come into the class, everybody sitting there during the class, she would make me stand and she would just take time to mix me with dirt, to tell how stupid I was so I became a Christian, how brainwashed, so I wouldn't even dare to ever share the gospel or tell, because I was very active. I was preaching the gospel. I was the guy who was, when biology teacher was telling about evolution, I was raised my hand and says, this is a lie, because all of this evolution, God created the world. I was so on fire for God. And for that, but I'm telling you, the more they persecuted me, the more I was digging my heels, it only strengthened my faith. But when I came to Canada, I noticed something. Somehow, without even understanding, I joined the chase. In Ukraine, I simply didn't have a chance. We were poor. All our jobs were, we could barely make our ends meet. So it's almost like you never even focus that you want to have this or that. You simply, if you have bread, if you have something to wear and you have roof over your head, that's enough. You're happy. Coming to Canada, there's so many toys. And if I work more hours, and if I do, I can do this. I can have heated steering wheel. What about air conditioned seating? All of these things are good. And I remember I just got caught. Give me more shifts, give me more hours, not because I want to give more, not because I want to go on a mission trip, because I want to buy more stuff. I want to have better clothes. Oh, this brand, I want to have only this brand, no other brand will do. So I caught myself being caught, entangled in this chase. So some time ago, Holy Spirit had to really wake me up and show me that, hey man, you're chasing your own thing. Get back on track. You're being distracted. You will ask me, does God want me to be happy? It's a wrong question. Because happiness, it's a byproduct of life lived surrendered to God. It's a byproduct of us following the lead of the Holy Spirit, worshiping Jesus, seeking His kingdom first. When we align our life like that, when we stay focused on the Lord, when we stay focused on His calling, the joy and this type of happiness and peace comes as a result of that. Happiness is a person, and his name is Jesus. It's not a thing. So let us not get distracted by chasing after those things. And my last distraction, it's a politics. Now we're really getting on the thin ice. Everybody get tense right now. Everybody put their elbows up. How you say it, guys in Canada? Elbows up. Put your gloves. Please hear out my heart. And please don't hear what I'm not saying. Because this subject became sensitive. And sometimes people fill in things through their filters. And it can become sensitive. Politics. Where is my notes? Okay, so it's right here. It may come as a shock to you, but Jesus is neither left or right. Amen. Christianity, it's neither left or right. In the day when Jesus was on this earth, there were many political tensions. I will not go into history right now for a lack of time. But people were trying to pull Jesus in all kind of political affairs. They wanted to make him a king one day. They were asking him all kind of provocative questions about taxes. It's not a new thing. About Rome, about who is, you know, occupation, about restoration of sovereignty of Israel. Jesus would not fall for that. He did not come to bring the kingdom of God by political means. He had a mission and he stayed focused on his mission. He didn't allow people to pull him away and get entangled with politics. See, why it poses a danger? In a mature society, in a perfect world, all political forces, they kind of pull together for general good. We passed that long time ago. And we perhaps will never go back. Modern political technologies, they built on antagonism, hostility, accusations. They're stupid. No. They're idiots. Those are the liars. No. Those are the liars. Those are crooks. No. You got it all wrong. Those are crooks. Those are saints. So it's complete polarization. It's complete antagonism. The strategy is to steer anger, disdain, resentfulness, contempt toward the opposite. It creates all these negative emotions. It provokes lots of anxiousness. And when we as God's children get caught up in all of this, it leads to division. Because that resentfulness I now experience being fed by all this junk. Now I feel resentful towards this political party, towards this person. So now I find out that Nicole here, she actually likes that other political party. And she actually votes for that other. So now all of that resentfulness I have towards them, suddenly I feel toward her directly. She is now an enemy. How dare you? So all of that labels that now I felt regarding that party, that point of view, suddenly, full on, I look at Nicole through this lens. So now as we're talking about mission of Jesus, preaching the gospel, making disciples, no, I don't want to do it with Nicole. Whew, did you know she voted for those guys? No way. It brings division. It hurts God's heart. It hurts God's heart. And it gives devil so much joy to see, like, amid so many people going to hell every day, so many brokenness, so many pain, and his church fighting about stupid politics, polarizing, pulling one side over another, focusing on that. We only have one message to be focused. Jesus loves you. Come to Jesus. This is the only message that really worth preaching. If we as a church pick sides, we shut the doors for the people who think otherwise, who thinks differently. Church, this house is open for people with all kinds of views. We are here not to indoctrinate you politically, not to persuade you to support one way or another. We are here to introduce you to Jesus. We are here to tell you about the love of God. We are here to help you grow in faith. We are here to help you to become disciple of your Lord. This is why we exist. You may ask me, do you ever vote, even Anatoly? Yes, I do. How do you vote? You will never find out. Pastor Joel here, he doesn't know how I vote. I don't know how he votes. I don't want to know. We have more important things to talk about, to be focused on, to give our energy, capacity, money, focus, prayers to. There is a world out there. There is a harvest out there. There is a mission out there. I have one conviction, only one conviction. Jesus Christ is the only way to God. He is the only Savior. There is only one person I will publicly endorse. One person I will agitate for. Only one name I will exalt, magnify, praise, worship, and promote. And this is the name of Jesus. He is the only one who is truthful, who is love, who is caring, who wants the best for your life. Jesus Christ, Son of God, the King of Kings. He owns all the power, all the authority. His kingdom is the only kingdom that's not corrupt. He will come day one day. He will come back one day. He will judge all the kingdoms. He is the only one who is our hope for today and for tomorrow. Our hope is not anchored in Ottawa. It's not anchored in Regina Legislation Building. It is not anchored in Regina City Hall. Of course, it's not anchored in the White House or any other house. Our hope is anchored in the Holy of Holies, where Jesus is sitting on the right hand of God, interceding for the nations, interceding for His church. He is our living hope, our only hope. And we have a job to do. We have a job to do. To preach the gospel. To preach the gospel to the dying world and to make disciples. Let us not get distracted. Apostle Paul, it's the last scripture for today. Look at his heart. This great man. 1 Corinthians, to the Jews I became like a Jew to win the Jews. You can put it, any political party, and you can tell for those guys, for left I became like left to reach left. To the right I became right to reach right. To the people who care about environment, I became those type of person to reach them. Because this is what matters, to reach the souls. And then he says, to those under the law, I became like the one under the law. Though myself, I'm not under the law. As to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law. So I am not free from God's law, but under Christ's law. So as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all of the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessing. God forbid you will ever hear from this stage endorsement for any political candidate, for any political party. If that ever happens, we lost our ways. We got entangled and we got completely distracted from the mission. And I'm so happy that as elders, we have bulletproof unity on this item. We have other things we can argue about, but on this item, we have absolutely uncompromised unity, that we as a church never take sides. We stay about our Father's business. And our Father's business is to preach the gospel and to make disciples. Let us stand. I want us to close by you thinking about this picture on a screen. It's a story described four men. You know the story. They bringing their friend to Jesus. It's his paralyzed friend who can't help himself. And his friend each grabbed their side of the mat and brought their friend to Jesus. Friends, do you know that you have also your corner of the mat to carry? So I would like us to pray, are you carrying your corner of the mat? Are you distracted today? Are you focused today? Let's examine our heart. Let's get back the sense of urgency, the sense that we are soldiers on a mission to build God's kingdom, to preach the gospel. We have so many wonderful partners, each of them bringing people to Jesus. In Ukraine, amid the war, they're bringing people to Jesus. They're carrying the mat, bringing those poor, broken people to Jesus. Let us support their hands. Let's grab a mat. Let's grab a piece of that mat and help them. In Uganda, here in Regina, in the North Central, in Tanzania, in Nepal, in Vietnam, in India. We have so many wonderful men and women of God that God gave us grace to connect with. They're bringing people to Jesus. They're carrying broken world to Jesus. Let us stand behind them. Let's support them with our finances, with our prayers. As Global Impact come, please be here. Be here on Saturday throughout the day. Be here Friday night. Be here as we take this faith commitment offering. Let this faith commitment offering will speak that we are focused on a mission. This is what we are about. Let it be reflected in that number that will pop. Let's blow this 300,000 out of waters. Let's make it so much higher than that. Let's bless our partners and help them and strengthen their hands as they carrying people to Jesus. And let us ourselves pick our side of the mat to bring this world to Jesus. Here we are, Father. We hear your voice. The harvest are plentiful. Send the workers. We hear your voice, Lord. Forgive us for being distracted. Forgive us for being pulled aside. We are back, Lord. We are back. Here's our hearts, our mind, our money, our lives. You called us to be soldiers in your army, and we're saying, yes, sir. Here we are, came. Command us. Tell us what to do. Send us. We will go. We will fight. We will give. We will preach. We will share. We will preach the gospel and make disciples. We are, as a Harvest City Church, here to respond to your call, and we say, yes. We say yes to your call for us. Lord, as we step into this global impact celebration, impact us. Lord, let us encounter you. Let our hearts be broken again for the lost soul. Let our hearts be broken again with compassion. Lord, pull us, snap us out of ourselves, out of our selfishness. Lord, let us cry for people who are broken. Give us tears so we will be compassionate. So when we think about the lost world, we will feel what you feel in your heart. Break our hearts, Lord. Break our hearts. Don't let us stay indifferent, Father. Don't let us stay hard in our hearts, soft in our hearts, Father. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We worship you. You are King. We exalt your name. Such a privilege to be part of your kingdom, to build your kingdom, to preach the good news, to make disciples. Thank you. We say yes. We will grab our corner of the mat. We say yes, Lord. And if you agree with me, let's say amen. Amen. Okay, church, you're dismissed. We shall see you throughout this week. Amen. God bless you, church.
Well, that brings us to the end of our time together. We hope that you found insight and had moments that spoke to you right where you needed it. Before you go, share the love and post this inspiring video to your page. Who knows how many lives could be impacted by it? And if you aren't already, like, follow, and turn on your social media notifications to keep up to date on all the exciting things happening at our church. Here at Harvest City, we're all about connecting with our community and celebrating those big moments. Like if you've recently decided to fully dedicate your life to Jesus, we'll be your cheerleaders and help you take those first steps. And if you're going through a tough season, let us know how we can help you. Plus, we've got tons of programs for kids, youth, and adults if you're looking for a new community to be part of. To send us a message or check out more about HCC, head over to our website, harvestcity.ca. To all of our financial partners, thank you for investing into the kingdom of God. Your generosity allows us to keep doing what we're called to do and reach even more people. If you're interested in contributing, please visit harvestcity.ca/giving for more info. Thanks for being here. Keep living your call, and we'll catch you again soon.